There we go. All right, and we're going to push our intro. Here we go. Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia territory of the Gidimdum clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Good evening, folks. That was our intro that we've managed to put together, and we're kind of happy to get a start on that. As mentioned last week, we have a guest tonight, Rhonda Burnett from the Love of Rocks, and we're very excited to get ourselves into a program. So I just want to welcome Rhonda right now. Hello, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, we are so excited about this whole idea of you giving us a bit of an idea of how you got to Smithers. That always seems to be my original beginning question. Like, why would you come to Smithers of all places? Can you give me that, a bit of an idea on that?
Well, we moved here in 2012.
Okay.
And I think we were in Prince Rupert, and we just kept driving through. Our family was all down in the Lower Mainland, and we kept driving through, and so Smithers was the place to stop for a break.
Exactly.
And then we just kept saying, well, this is a nice community. This is nice. And we did this for 4 years. We'd drive back and forth, and every time we would stop here, we'd stay a little longer,
mm-hmm.
and a little longer, and a little longer. And the next thing you know, we were staying for 3 days, and then it became a destination spot for us. And
right. Did you have family here?
Nope.
No. Did you start to meet a few people that
nope.
you could? Okay, so it was just the beauty of the area
yes.
kind of attracted you.
Yes.
So going back a little bit, Rhonda, when you said you were from the Lower Mainland, is that where you went to school?
Yes.
Okay. And when you were at school, did you have a sort of a feeling that you liked rocks at that time?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So how far does that go back?
That goes back to 3-4 years old. Like I was little.
Right.
I was little and just loved rocks. And my grandfather, he was a lapidary artist and a prospector, and he cut and polished rocks, and he worked with jade, and he had gold nuggets. And
wow. So you had a very good introduction through your family
yes.
into that realm.
But nobody expected me to go down that route. Nobody in the family did except for me.
No. So you had a feeling for it as you were aging and getting yourself settled with the family, and that you still felt rocks might be a...
No, I had no idea
okay.
that it was going to be an actual thing. It was
right.
just a hobby.
Oh, okay.
It was something that I enjoyed,
right.
and it brought me joy to go rock hounding. And, you know, I'd lose myself for hours just combing the beaches or the river and the mountains and just picking up rocks.
Right. And did you start yourself collecting at that time, Rhonda?
Oh, I definitely started collecting when I was a kid.
Right.
I was that kid that had a pocket full of rocks.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I remember myself, I kind of started out with marbles, and that sort of got me the idea that I liked rocks and I liked shiny rocks, you know, and I would always have my own style of marbles that were special to me, you know,
yeah.
when you had a little area that you would save them in your room, you know.
Right.
And rocks have always kind of been that way, where you just happen to find a rock. It might not be maybe a great rock, but to you, it's an interesting rock.
It's how they feel, the shape. I mean, some look like hearts, some are perfect circles, some look like eggs. It's the texture, it's the smoothness, it's the colors that might stand out.
Right, exactly, exactly. So when you made the decision to move to Smithers, then that was that you left Rupert. Now, Rupert's a very beautiful place on
mm-hmm.
the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are very attracted to Rupert.
Mm-hmm.
But you made that decision, and you decided that you would settle in Smithers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was your next big sort of move. And once you got settled in Smithers, and you at that time, did you have a family, Rhonda?
Yes.
Okay, so you've had you and you have a couple of children?
I do.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so then along the trail, there was a point where you decided that you wanted to get in the rock business. What was that? What was the sort of impetus to do that?
That was when my babies were born in Prince Rupert.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
So it started there, and it's for anyone that knows me, I have to do stuff.
Right.
I don't watch TV. I don't sit around. I like to keep busy, and so I used to just make jewelry and just hobby stuff. And when I had my babies, we made a choice that I would stay home and raise them, and I was getting stir crazy.
Right. So you're not a knitter?
No, I'd like to maybe one day. Yeah. Crocheting.
Right.
But, I already had, and the person, the kid's father, was like, well, why don't you do something with your rocks? Like, mm-hmm. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm here day in and day out. Like, I want to do something. And because it rains all the time.
Right.
Right? And two little babies trying to take them out in pouring rain. And
that's a challenge. And whenever the rain stops in Rupert,
everybody's
the street.
Everybody's out. Oh, yeah.
Bang.
It's like ants coming out of an anthill.
Yeah.
Everybody
just
pours out.
Yeah, exactly. So the decision to go into rocks, like how would you describe the way you would go into rocks? Like, are you going to sell rocks to your neighbors? Are you going to...
No, well, I just created. So I just created stuff
right
at
oh,
home.
Okay, so you're talking jewelry, would you say?
Yes.
Okay,
and
all right.
And polishing the rocks.
Right.
And, I did, because I had a lot of rocks. And, just cutting and polishing and making them into jewelry or pendants or something, or, beading. And, then making stuff, well, what do you do with it all?
Exactly. It builds up very quickly.
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, and then you got to make a decision of what are we going to do with this big box of rocks? Well, maybe we can sell it.
Right.
And so there must have been bazaars and different shows that you could go.
I did. And then there wasn't a lot of shows, so... me and a few ladies, we started the last minute market in Prince Rupert because there wasn't a market there.
Okay.
And there wasn't a farmer's market, and there wasn't stuff.
Right.
So we
right.
also then created the last minute market in Prince Rupert.
Oh, that sounds very cool to mm-hmm. get that going. I mean, the same with the farmer's market in Smithers. There was a group that put it together. You know, it got everything going. It's a lot of work. But mm-hmm. it's somewhere that you can take your wares mm-hmm. and we can try and get other people interested in them.
Exactly.
So, Rhonda, as this program goes forward, we mm-hmm. try to mix in a few songs that they can be related to our show, or they're just songs that we like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've given me a couple and I've added a couple, so I'd like to play a song right now, if that's okay. And the one that I want to start with is a song called Breathe. It's kind of an interesting one that you have picked out on Telepop Music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just plug that in, see if we can get that going.
Thank you.
That was a very peaceful song, Rhonda. You've told me before that you like to have a peaceful music to relax yourself. This group, they're actually a French duo. Hmm. And they are, they have the name of Two Square and Anti-Pop. That's the name that they go by. The song Breathe is off of their album Genetic World. And believe it or not, that song has amassed 250 million streams. It's very popular.
Yes.
So that's something that you kind of can listen to once in a while just to relax yourself down.
All the time. Just to remind, like, sometimes you just got to breathe.
Right,
it's kind of like, is it, what's that, Dory? On Finding Nemo,
right.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming.
Yeah.
Then with this song, it's just, you know, just sometimes I love music, but sometimes things get too wordy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just like, let's just get into the zone and just breathe.
Relax it
just
up.
Just relax. Just
so
breathe.
So if we take ourselves back to Rupert, now you've got a market setup going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you're... How could you pull away from that and move to Smithers? It seemed like you were settling into your groove there in Prince Rupert.
Well, they're all still here with me. So
right.
I still have all my Rupert people.
Right.
And they come out here and I ship, right?
Yes, yes.
So they call me or they just come to town.
Right.
And that's...
Just like you did, where they just make us a trip out to Smithers because it's
yeah.
a... It's a good place to come for a couple of days or
right?
whatever.
Or if yeah. they're passing through or whatever. So, yeah.
No, that sounds really good. So then you set yourself up in Smithers.
Mm-hmm.
The market is already here. I'm talking about the farmer's market where you mm-hmm. can go and sell your jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
But you've made a decision that you want to go beyond that. How did that come about, Rhonda?
Well, that was COVID.
Okay.
All that right. was COVID. And it was the people that asked for that. So I had, you know, when I first started out, I was happy. If $100 a month, I was happy. And the demand was there.
Okay.
It was 100% consumer driven.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I produced a product and people liked it.
Right, right.
And so it just kept building. And building. And then, I mean, I never thought in a million years I would open up a shop. I always wanted to, and I envisioned it.
Right.
But I thought, oh, who's going to... Are people crazy like me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they are. There's so many.
Yeah. Well, you've got, as you say, you've created a product. You're like an artist. You're like a painter. You're like, you've created your niche mm-hmm. that people are admiring. And there are other rock people in town.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
And they all have their little niche, what they're looking for, what mm-hmm. they can sell, you know. I remember the lady that had rocks in her paintings or in her photos. She
yes,
was taking
Cindy
photos.
Materi.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. we're friends.
Yes.
And her stuff is at my shop, too.
And it's so interesting. It's
right?
different in its own way, you know. So that's kind of cool. So then if the market is here and you're working, you're fitting this into your family life, and you're busy. It's keeping you very busy.
Very busy.
So when you go to the idea of going for a shop, that's going to double the busyness of your life. Would you say?
I'd say quadruple, but it's even more than that. It's, yeah. So the shop came about because it got to the point where I was selling out of my house.
Yes.
And that really disrupts a family. I had to put the kids away. Shh, go away. You know, yeah, I've got a customer coming, and put the dogs away, keep them quiet. And you got to keep your house clean. I mean, I'm a clean freak anyways, but you know, you have to presentable.
Right. Exactly.
And, when COVID hit, I couldn't go to the farmers markets anymore. I couldn't go to the craft fairs. I couldn't travel to Terrace and Kitimat and Prince Rupert because I used to travel all the time too with all the fairs and just pop-up shops, and I'd go to different places and people would know I would come, and they'd come and they'd shop while I was in town. And and then COVID hit, we couldn't do any of that.
No.
And I thought, oh, that's the end of Love of Rocks. But I'd already made it, oh gosh, I don't know, was that the 10-year mark or more? 12 years?
Wow.
So I'd already been doing it 12 years.
Right.
And what I thought was going to fade away because of COVID was actually the catalyst that pushed it.
Wow.
So everybody kept phoning me saying, when are you coming out? When are you coming out? When are you coming out? And I said, I'm not, because of COVID.
I can't.
And they said, okay, we're coming to you. So now I have people all of Northern British Columbia coming to my house.
Right. Right.
And everybody went, this is crazy. Yeah. This is crazy. The rocks overtook my house.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right.
And
I can vision that.
That's, everybody's like, you got to open a shop. You got to open a shop. You got to. And so many people. It wasn't just one. It was like constant. And that's how it came about. And I thought, okay, well, this is crazy. 2020. I'm going to open up an actual shop.
Wow. So you found a place.
Found a place.
Worked out the rent.
Yeah, and I thought, even if I just sell however many, the rent, it was just around the corner on Broadway, and I thought, oh, it was cheap enough rent that at least it got the rocks out of the house.
Yes, now that sounds like a very good idea.
Right? Cause,
Now, when you set up, like you have, you've talked about the jewelry that you make and whatever, but when I was in the store, there's certainly a level of jewelry in your stock, but there's also a lot of unusual rocks. Now, where did they come from? Are those things that you collected over the years?
No. So I source. It's called sourcing.
Sourcing. Okay.
It's called sourcing. And because I've been doing it so long as a hobby and as a business, I've met the people that do the mining.
Okay.
That, yes.
And they you can start. Find the jade. They know where they're looking, and you know who they are, and
yes,
they can maybe.
And you create a relationship. So in the rock world, it is very much based on honor and a relationship.
Right.
And
No, that sounds like the perfect way to go, really.
In the rock world, it's kind of the only way. And you form these relationships, and anybody else who's like this lovely lady down in Vancouver, she's been doing it over 40 years.
Wow.
And she's like a celebrity.
Yeah, yeah.
In the rock world.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has all those relationships, and that's what came for me.
Yes,
and exactly. People wanted it. People want something different.
Right.
They want the unique. They want something that, you know, rocks have grown in popularity, and anybody can, like, do a pop-up shop out of their house or whatever, but it's the relationships that matter.
That make the, that fuse the connection.
Yes.
Between the people that are finding the rocks, the people that are selling
the
rocks,
passion.
And the people that are buying the rocks.
That's right.
They get passionate because they want that rock also.
And the people that are mining are passionate.
Very interesting, Rhonda. And what it reminds me of my little time when I ran off from work. They gave me 5 months off to go in gold pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I met the most interesting people.
Right.
And of course, when you're meeting people, they are cautious. of who you are and what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And once they realize that you're not going to steal their gold,
yeah,
they're much willing, very willing to bring their gold out and show it to you because they're quite proud of
rock people are so proud of their rocks.
Yes.
Like so proud.
It's very incredible. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, Rhonda. So now the store is set up and now you've got yourself going on as a sorcerer. Not a sorcerer, but just a sorcerer finding rocks.
Yes.
So I can walk into the store and I can ask you, could you find me a particular rock?
Yes.
Okay, like I'd like a real nice sample of obsidian.
Yes.
And you have an obsidian person that you know that can provide you with that. And you can make contact. We can ship it to you. You can ship it to me, and we've got our relationship started. And is that what you're doing
day by day? No, not day by day. So I have, like, you know, the regulars, like, in the shop, like, you know, your rose quartz and your amethyst, and then also specialty stuff. But let's obsidian. Everybody knows obsidian. Let's go meteorites.
Okay.
So I have collectors, and we know some of these people in our community. They are top-notch collectors, and they'll come in and they'll say, hey, I want not just a specific rock, but the actual one of a kind. There's only one in the world.
Right.
And they'll say, hey, I want this meteorite that fell on this day and it was a witness fall, blah, blah, blah. Can you get it?
Wow. This sounds like art collecting.
It is.
It's just like a gallery. You are acting like a gallery
distributor. That's exactly it.
Oh, it's amazing. Totally amazing. Well, I would like to mix another song in.
This one
that I've been holding back on that I would, when we're talking about rocks, I like to kind of put a rock song in there. Now, it's not going to be too rocky because I know we're trying to stay fairly calm in our music, which is a good idea. So let's see how this one sounds as we slide it in.
A winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that friendship, friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island. And a rock feels no pain, and an island never. surprise.
That is an older song, Rhonda Rakeback, from the mid-60s with Simon and Garfunkel, kind of an interesting couple of guys. They've been together several times and split up several times with their complications, but they do sing well together. So I pulled that one out because I just happen to like the title, I Am a Rock, being that we are trying to discuss ourselves through your rock business.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about your setup going there, Rhonda, and you're talking about how you are the facilitator. You can locate the rock. Mm-hmm. You can provide the item mm-hmm. for the people that are interested. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that in this small community, there is a lot of people interested mm-hmm. in rock. Because mm-hmm. I'm not aware of that, being that I'm not really in that.
No. And that's the thing. We got to think, 8 billion people on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have different passions. I always use golf as an example. I have no idea what drives people to want to play golf.
Right. I know where you're coming from on that one also.
Nothing against. All good. Like, get out there, hit a few balls, and, you know, enjoy yourself. And it's sort of, I think, with the rock world, or with anything, like, knitting, crocheting, golf, skateboarding,
music, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever moves you. You've got, from the time you're born to the time you die, 8 billion people on this planet. What moves you?
Yes.
What makes you happy? What brings you joy?
Right.
And as long as you're able to have a roof over your head, food on the table, and you're not hurting anyone in the process.
Right.
I think that's, and it gives you purpose and it makes you feel good. I think that's a beautiful thing.
It sounds like a beautiful thing to me, Rhonda. Mm-hmm. It really does. Now, the other thing that when we talked earlier, you had mentioned that, you know, you also needed a job when you decided that you were going to, you know, look after the family
mm-hmm.
With your financial contributions. And mm-hmm. So choosing the rock world as your job, excuse me, and finding people that are interested in what you're doing and they're able to purchase from you,
mm-hmm.
it looks like a win-win. Would you call it that?
Yeah, it has. There was no plan really. Like mm-hmm. it was just like, I wanted to do something. It makes me happy to do it. I could stay at home with my babies. And in fact, my babies have been with me the whole time. They've seen me. At one point, my kids would be like, oh, you went to your rocks again, Mom?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, I know now that they're getting older, they realize that I was able to be with them all the time. They grew up at the farmer's markets.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They had that community. They have fond memories of that safe environment, that community running around. And seeing how entrepreneurs are born
right.
all the time.
That sounds like such an interesting way for children to grow up. My youngest son grew up in the hockey rink.
Oh,
so, you know, he was running around in the rink and then we were down at the rink. We were traveling in the, you know, in the hockey world. So mm-hmm. it's different situations for different folks. Everybody has a different way of what they can do.
Absolutely.
To make happiness.
That's right.
Yeah.
How do we make our happiness? What brings you joy?
Yeah, exactly. Now, Rhonda, the one thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is other people that are developing an interest in rocks. Now, you said that your grandpa was a lapidarian, so he had equipment to cut rocks, polish
mm-hmm.
rocks,
mm-hmm.
but he was also a prospector, so mm-hmm. he was able to go out and find rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would somebody in this community approach that if they suddenly listened to this program and thought, yeah, I've got an interest in rocks. I wonder what I would do to find rocks. What do you do?
We have the internet now.
Right.
We have Google and all the, you know, other things. So there's so much information at our fingertips that we can learn about rocks. I mean, you know, in the old days, we had to go to university and college, and we had to read books, and they're still out there. You can still do all that, but you can even just get started learning. And of course, reputable sources, please go to reputable sources, because there's fly-by-night sources out there that, you know, they'll tell you anything and everything and what you should and shouldn't do.
Right.
And we also have what's called the BC Lapidary Society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in British Columbia. And yeah, join.
Yeah.
You have to join your local rock club. I know many people want me to start a rock club here in Smithers, and I just don't have that time.
No, exactly.
You know, because we have to get a board together and president, vice president, and all that sort of stuff.
Big job.
It's a big job.
Yeah.
But we do have a rock club in Burns Lake.
Which sounds like it's very popular.
It is.
Yeah.
And some lovely individuals that have time to do all the booking and take mm-hmm. people out. And we go on rock hounding expeditions. And yeah, and then there's so much to learn. So, you know, by the time I was 17, I joined my local rock club, which was down in Maple Ridge at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I learned.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you in a, if you are in a club, they would go out. They would have an idea where they would go for something unusual. Maybe
opals. Doesn't have to be. Yeah, it does. Not unusual. We mm-hmm. don't call it unusual because it's usual in the rock world.
Right. Right.
So
okay.
Whether it be opals or obsidian or agates mm-hmm. or quartz or geyserite or, you know. Whatever it is, we're going to... And different... Once you're part of the BC Lapidary Society and you're part of a rock club, you can go to any community and go rock hounding.
Oh,
you
I see.
You can go to Vernon and right. go rock hounding with the Vernon Club. You could go to Quesnel and go to with the Quesnel Club. You can go to PG and go with the PG Club. So I'm part of three clubs.
Right, right, right. No, well, that's actually a good setup where you've got that connection. I was actually in a horse club.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an international club. So if you were traveling with your horse in the States or other parts of Canada, you could stop in and they would have a place where you could ride your horse. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so there's these connections and the people that you meet are really the beauty of a club organization.
Oh, totally. And there's a, I don't know, there's this sense of community, huge community, rock community. And it's funny because I'll be somewhere, I got... laid over in Salt Lake City because of the traveling and all that sort of stuff. And I called up a fellow rock lady. Never had met her. Never. Called her up and I said, hey, I want to come to your shop because I want to source rocks from Utah. Because right. that's what I do. I go direct to the sources.
Oh, I see.
And I make the connections so that I cut out the middle people and I go to the mines and the people that own the claims. And they get the money.
I see.
Instead of all the middle people out right, there that are right. trying to put their hands in there. And I called her up. And I went and we talked and we got along. And I couldn't find a hotel for the night. And she goes, do you want to just come to my house?
Mm.
And we spent the whole evening together. We had a lovely time.
Oh.
Just like that. Within an hour, there was that trust. We have a great relationship. We talk to the same talk. She's a fellow female entrepreneur business owner.
Exactly.
And it was great. And I know now anytime I go to Salt Lake City, I have a place to go. And if she comes up here, she automatically has a place to stay.
It can't get any better.
Right?
That's exactly how we want the world to go.
Right?
Exactly. Rhonda, we are reaching the halfway point of our show.
Oh, that was fast.
So it doesn't take long. And I've got a... I have to give my station identification and just remind everyone that we're listening to CICK Radio 93.9 on your FM dial. And this is Thomas Tom Roper, your friendly announcer. And I also want to give a thank out to my sponsors. And I've got a couple up on the board here that I would like to say really appreciate the help that they give us, Classic Sanitary, BV Farmers Market, and the BV Concert Association, along with Bugwood Bean. So, Rhonda, maybe we'll take another moment to play one of your songs, because I really like the songs that you've chosen. So let's slide into this one. Now, there was a small mention in the Simon and Garfunkel song about December. So I thought we would try this one here, Snowman by Sia.
Hmm.
So if it's if there's snow.
Well, it did snow today, didn't it?
It did.
So this is perfect.
And it's very peaceful.
Don't cry, snowman, not in front of me. Who'll get your tears if you can't catch me, darling? If you can't catch me, darling. Don't cry, snowman, don't leave me this way. A bottle of water can't hold me close, baby. Can't hold me close, baby. I want you to know. Will you hear my secrets if you don't have ears, baby? If you don't have ears, baby, I want you to know that I'm never leaving, 'cause I miss the snow till death will be freezing. Yeah, you are my home for all seasons. So come on, let's go. Let's go below zero and hide from the sun. At the North Pole and live happily. Please don't cry no tears now. It's Christmas, baby. My snowman and me. My snowman and me. Baby.
That was a very beautiful song too, Rhonda. I don't know where you come up with these, because they certainly are not on the hip parade. This lady, her name is Sia, S-I-A, and her... Oh, we got some trouble happening there.
Sorry about that, folks. Not sure what's...
Yeah, we just had a small interruption there. It was a phone call coming in from Hawaii, but I don't...
Not for me, though.
Not really. As I was saying with Sia, she's actually an Australian singer-songwriter, and the song Snowman is off of her 2017 album, Every Day is Christmas. So that's an interesting way to look at the world.
Well, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Because when you're present, it's a gift.
In the moment, we're so fortunate.
We are
to
so
be
fortunate.
Here. And it's
so fortunate.
It is better than Christmas, really.
Really.
It's been amazing. But anyways, what I did want to ask you, Rhonda, is I took a prospector course when I was younger, and there were certain ways that you could pick a rock and then you could deal with it to determine what that rock was. Because all rocks are classified. There, it seems like, I don't know if there is such a thing as a rock that is not classified.
Yes, there is.
And so it would be...
There are meteorites that are unclassified.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. So the process of actually determining what this rock is, can you give me a little bit of light on that? You would have had done that back in the rock hound days.
Well, that's where the education comes in. Beautiful education. If anyone is interested in any way getting into rocks, there are so many fields that people can do in geology.
Right.
Like it's not just one.
Right.
Like there's mineralogy, gemology, seismology, volcanism. There's, oh my God, like I can't even think of it right now. Like it's everything. Just, it's endless.
The world itself is a geological wonder.
It's the Earth, yes. You know,
the planet itself. Mm-hmm. And I was reading in this book here that I don't know if you've had a chance to see one of these here, but in they're talking about the age of the planet mm-hmm. being
4.5 billion, isn't it?
No, it's 460, which would be 4.5 billion mm-hmm. years old.
Correct.
So it's a fair aged outfit, and all the rocks are constantly being brought forward through, as you said, volcanoes, earthquakes, the various forms of nature that are producing rocks mm-hmm. on our planet. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of thinking about, like, how do I know what that rock is? And the one thing that, like, I was in the prospecting, we would scratch the rock. We would see if the rock was magnetic. We would try there was sort of like a level of maybe four or five things that the prospector would carry with them mm-hmm. or her. Mm-hmm. And then give them a little bit of a determination of what that rock was. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've been through all that, Rhonda?
Yes.
And your grandfather would have given you some hands-on experience?
No.
Okay.
No, that came later. So I did go to SFU, and I did take geology
okay.
at SFU right. as well.
Right.
Just because, you know, why not?
Why not, exactly?
Why not? And like I said, it was always just a passion. I just love learning about it, and it just came natural. And being able to look at the landscape and knowing how that formed mm-hmm. and when it formed. And, you know, for identification of rocks, I mean, there's just even the three basics, just to know if it is igneous,
right.
sedimentary, or metamorphic.
Okay.
That's
okay.
just your three basics.
Right.
The other thing I say to people is learn about the Mohs hardness scale.
Mm.
Mohs, M-O-H, Mohs hardness scale.
Okay.
Because that's one of the ways to identify stones is their hardness. And that's why you do the scratch test.
Okay, I see.
Yes.
All right.
That's and then there's streaks and density and mass. And, you know, in the old days, we used to lick them.
Right, right.
Don't lick them anymore.
No, no. But don't want your tongue getting caught in the cool weather on
well,
there.
Yeah. Never mind. Well, that's metal. But and just, you know, colors not so much, but definitely hardness and transparency, or if it's opaque.
Right. Those are very good mm-hmm. words that are used
metallic.
In the
metallic.
Metallic, exactly. Now, Rhonda, I brought a couple of my own rocks in. Oh. That I just wanted to show you, and maybe you could tell me. I'm not trying to make it like a contest, but I just want to know what you would look at to determine what this rock is. So this one here, I found it in Mayo and Kino City up in the Yukon. I don't know if you're aware of that area, mm-hmm. and there's quite a bit of mining going on, mm-hmm. old days mining, mm-hmm. and they're trying to bring some of those mines back. Does that look to you like something that you would recognize?
This looks like galena.
Galena.
Lead.
Yes.
Lead ore. Because it's heavy.
Heavy.
Super
okay.
heavy.
Yeah.
It's got the metallic. It's gray. And it's got the crystal structure
right.
of galena. You
right.
can see it.
I really like the idea of studying the crystal structures. They're all fascinating.
That's the other way to identify, because there is no crystal structure that is identical.
Isn't that amazing?
So that's how we know. Like, quartz will always be a hexagonal, six-sided
right.
crystal structure.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah. So you know when you pick up a piece of quartz what you're looking at.
Gonna
it's
be.
Always going to be that same.
Yeah.
So this other one that I have here.
I know you guys can't see it, but I'd show you if I could.
Right, right. Well, that's what I wanted you to describe it, and you did. The color, the weight. You know, the crystal structure. Now,
yeah.
And the same, let's take a look at this one here. This is another one that I found when we came off the Stikine River going over to Wrangell, Alaska, and there was a...
Well, this would be Wrangell because this is a garnet.
Yes, exactly.
And Wrangell, Alaska is known for its garnets.
It's so interesting.
And only children are allowed to go and mine Wrangell garnets.
Yes, we were told that they gave that mountain to the Boy Scouts of
That's
America.
Right.
And they're only allowing children to go over
That's
and pick
correct.
Up rocks there.
That's
so it's
correct.
A very cool spot.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
And the same thing, you got your crystal structure, they'll have a hardness.
What about the color?
Color can be, like, this is a typical Wrangell color.
Okay.
But garnets can be green.
Right.
They can be, which would be like a, say, a sarvarite
right.
is a green garnet. Yellow, orange.
Amazing.
The red ones.
And this is kind of red from the Wrangell area.
Yeah.
Okay, and then this one here is just a piece that I picked up on the...
No, you didn't pick it up.
This I did. I actually bought that.
I was going to say
that. That's right.
Yeah, so this is jade. This is very typical nephrite jade.
Nephite.
Nephrite.
Nephrite, yeah.
Nephrite.
Now, I was up in a jade mine called Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
North in by Takla Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an area that you're familiar with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you look on the BC map,
mm-hmm.
the geological map, you'll see, oh my goodness.
They're going to lay out, like I know they have the map for gold-bearing areas.
They've got the map for all geological areas. So
right.
you look at geological maps and you will see that they're through, I can't think of the word right now, but through British Columbia up Jade City and all that area,
right.
there is a metamorphic, like literally the Green Mountains.
There's
a folding through British Columbia.
Right.
That's all jade.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, let's, we're running now about 10 or so minutes left in our program.
You bet.
We've looked at a few of our rocks. Let's try ourselves another song. This mm-hmm. is the one that is actually quite famous. I'm surprised how popular these songs are. Like, we're not talking like selling a million copies. We're talking 250 million copies.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll try pick up this song here by Daisy the Great.
I've got a record player that was made in 2014. Dyed my hair blue. It came out of C6 sort of green. I like vintage dresses when they fall just below my knees. I pretend I scraped them. I gotta go and get famous for doing nothing. Crack a smile, crack a smile. Stay a while, stay a while. Am I holding for applause? Is it gone? Is this on?
I've got a record player that was made in 2014. Dyed my hair blue. It came out of C6 sort of green. I like vintage dresses when they fall just below my knees. I pretend I scraped them. Sometimes
Now, Daisy the Great is a American indie pop band led by singer-songwriter Kelly Dugan and Mina Walker. Their 2017 debut single became a TikTok sensation with over 270 million views. Pretty incredible. The record player song was remixed in 2021 with AJR and rose to number 6 on the Billboard Alternative Airplay chart.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of information on that line. So, Rhonda, one thing, I've had the opportunity in my career to work at several mines, and I started out at Endaco, and then I ended up at Huckleberry. So I saw some of the activity that's going on in mining, and it there is a tremendous need right now for the minerals of the earth to keep supplying for our computers, our telephones, the different things, our new electric cars, everything like that.
So lithium there is, batteries.
Yes, it does not look like that mining will be falling away.
As long as there's consumerism, there will be mining.
Right. But my concern that I got over mining was the problems with pollution and the problems with moving people out of their area. Like if you look at a lot of the mines that are going today in the southern hemisphere, there's a lot of poor people that have been displaced. And somehow we need to come to a better way to look after the planet rather than just extraction and run. Have you, do you have any experience with any of the mining world, Rhonda?
Well, when I source, I do my best to make sure that I am sourcing from what I would call like ethical sourcing, environmental sourcing, so they have very little footprint.
Right.
Some do, some don't.
Right.
Like my demordorite source out of Brazil, they literally hike into the mountains. They have a hole that is maybe 3-4 feet in diameter.
Right.
And these men drop down 50 feet that they've hand dug out and go into a cavern underneath. You wouldn't even know that the mine is there. You would have no clue that it's even there.
Right.
And they hand dig out these crystals, put them in their backpack or in a bucket. They bring it to the surface. They put it on their backs and they hike out.
Wow. So you're saying that the money that when they sell those crystals to you, some of that money is going directly to them?
It is going to them.
Wow. That's pretty incredible, that, Rhonda.
So I get to see them mining and they wave at me.
No.
And they say hi.
Like on the, you're talking on Zoom on, or whatever.
Yeah.
But have you been to Brazil yourself?
Not yet.
Okay. Well,
no, I'm, it's the love of rocks, not love of money.
Right. Right. So. Right. I can certainly understand that for sure. Okay. Rhonda, we're going to pull one more song off here that I've been wanting to play. It looks like our time is shortening me down, so I'm going to have to play yours. I wanted to play mine, but we'll be okay. We'll take this one here.
Good song.
One day
Rhonda, I had to just cut that short a little bit because we're closing out our program, and I just wanted to make sure we've got some of your information on board. So can you tell us, the listening audience, how they can find you? Do they, well, your location and
yes,
your and all
I am
other.
Located at 1173 Main Street in Smithers, British Columbia, Canada. You can find us, our store, or my store, at www.loveofrocks.com. They can shop online, and we ship worldwide.
Wow. That is pretty incredible, Rhonda. Well, I sure appreciate you coming down.
Thank you for having
and
me.
And we're having a lot of fun here on the ropes tonight. So we're ready to close out with our outro that we have just taped up. So I will move on to that section if I can find it. It looks like it's disappeared.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And this was fun. It went fast.
It went way too fast, as it always did.
We'll have to do a second part.
Maybe that's what we'll need. Exactly. Okay, Rhonda, we will sign off. Here we go.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.